Hi there, everyone. This is Brayden and Tally with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And here we are. We are working on a series talking about love and purity. We're actually still in the introduction, but we're actually going to take a second here to, well, we're just going to wish you a happy 38th day of the Omer, first
That's
of
right.
all. Right? We're getting closer and closer to Shavuot here, which is very exciting. We actually have a whole group of people coming just this coming Sunday here. And so our base is going to be hopping, getting ready for the great feast. And so that's exciting. I'm really baffled or amazed at just God's ways and how he leads us and guides us. And I just want to share with you the miracle it is that Brayden and I we have a podcast. And I just wanted to just, you know, those, a lot of you all probably know us, but those of you that don't, we are not technical people. Are we technical people?
No, not in the least.
Not in the slightest are we technical people.
We always leaned on our siblings for those kind of things.
Yes. So I'm having a technical day today. I have been working on
technical breakdowns.
Technical breakdowns. Yeah, we've got podcasting. I mean, I've got to, you know, we've got to sit here and turn on machines and download things. And, you know, there's all kinds of things and push buttons and stuff. So that's really exciting. But then we're also like building a website. And I mean, there's all kinds of just fun technical things that we're doing.
Yeah, it's a good way to grow in patience.
It's it's just loads of fun. So I just appreciate God's sense of humor, that he knows how far he can stretch us.
Yeah, keep us in your prayers.
Yeah, exactly. That's what this is, a plea for your prayers. Pray for us as we deal with our technical weaknesses, but it's good. What else are we doing? What do we do to get out of the technical world that we live in?
So I have this lifelong love of gardening. So
yes.
Just can't quite, even when we went to Israel for years, I just couldn't help but plant a garden. Somebody else would harvest it. I just had to put seeds in the ground. So there's something in me, just in my blood. I just have to plant a garden. This year, with God's help, we'll have a harvest and actually be here for it.
Yeah, it's
so
exciting.
We've been in the garden, got potatoes coming up about a foot high. Got the beans coming up about 6 inches high. Just, it's coming along pretty good. Yep. So
it's a beautiful sight.
Yeah, we had fun. We were out there yesterday getting everything cultivated.
Yeah, yesterday we had a garden day. So that was good. It got us kind of, you know, we got to kind of just let go so that we could deal with our technical day today.
Yeah.
So that was really a blessing.
Yeah. I actually feel like you're accomplishing something physical.
Right. Yeah, and the weather here is still really beautiful, which I just am so thankful. I looked on the 10-day forecast today, and we're still in the 80s. And I'm a happy person when we're in the 80s. The 80s make me happy. So I'm looking forward to the next 10 days. I think that's good. As soon as the temperature hits 100, I start getting very, it's hard on me. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Which Missouri heat is a little different than Pennsylvania heat that I grew up with.
Right.
But yeah. Okay. So we are going to jump into the message here today. Like I said, we're still on the introduction, and we are talking about today the spirit of Elijah. I think we're actually going to spread this into two teachings because we love the spirit of Elijah.
Amen.
We could just talk about this for a very long time. And we're just going to be scraping the surface here. So this is a very exciting topic. Get started.
So prepare the way. This is something that really sparked my heart in my teen years, just realizing that I have a purpose in this life and realizing that God had called me and many others to prepare the way of the Lord. The scripture talks about making a highway in preparation for the Lord's return. And when Yeshua comes back, it's going to be a well-made highway. It's going to be this way that's been prepared. He's not going to come into a situation that people haven't prepared for. It's something that when you welcome the king in, then there's preparations that go into that. And so this is what we're going to talk about today, and looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 17, this is John the Baptist. Speaking of John the Baptist, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John the Baptist here anointed to make God's people ready. And we know that was the first time Yeshua came. We know in the second time, there's going to be a preparation as well. The people are going to be a spotless bride. They're going to be likened to a spotless bride, and there's going to be a preparation process for that to happen. So this same spirit of Elijah, I believe, is going to be poured out again, and we're going to be a part of that. And I want to just ask God for more of the Holy Spirit in my life to be a part of that preparation. This verse from Luke is based out of Malachi 4, verse 5. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." And keep in mind, Malachi is the last prophet in the Tanakh in the Old Testament. And you have a 400-year silent gap between Malachi and John the Baptist. So here he is saying, "I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." So a weighty responsibility here, that the hearts of the fathers be turned to the children to their fathers. There's going to come a curse on the earth if this does not happen. And so this is something we want, and something we have to really battle the cultural trends to see. You know, it's the spirit of the world going the opposite direction than this spirit of Elijah that's turning the hearts of fathers to their children. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, you know, some of my own testimony, some of what God has done in my life and Tally's life, and just try to be encouragement to you all out there to embrace this, to realize the importance of it. We spent a little bit of time about 4 years ago in Sweden. Actually, Svani was born there, so about 5 years ago. And there, the cultural landscape is far worse than it is here in America, and fatherhood is just really lacking. And so I can remember being there. We're on a farm there at a discipleship training school, but just kind of feeling the atmosphere in the country of just spiritual decadence. And just really feeling two things. One, feeling, wow, the state of the Western world, you know, just the Western society is really on a downhill trend. So feeling just kind of a sorrow, a real sorrow about that. But then also feeling a thankfulness for God sparing me that lack of fatherhood, because my own father and my grandfather were really strong patriarchs in their community. And my dad, you know, to this day, my grandfather's passed away about 10 years ago, but my father, you know, still to this day, is a pillar in his community. And so just thankful for that. And so my own story, I can remember being, you know, 6 years old and being out on the porch and my dad having me and Zach out there and just teaching us what it meant to worship God. He was saying, you know, you can raise your hands and worship. And he told us how to raise our hands up and worship to God. And I just, you know, those memories stand out to me and just realizing, wow, how amazing it is, the power of a father just speaking destiny over his children. Mm-hmm. And going back to our time in Sweden, I can remember just working out on that farm and thinking about this song that Michael Card had written. And it went, "Grandpa, I wish you could be here to tell me what to do. 'Cause I first saw the light of Christ through you." And just before my grandfather passed away, just a few really special memories, just spending time with him in the Word and just so thankful for a man that loved Jesus. And he was just totally just yielded to God. He wanted to do God's will in his life. And that Michael Card song was just really stirring in my heart. And I just began to think about how grateful I am to have a grandfather that loved God.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, just am so grateful for what, for all that has been given to me and all of the jewels that I got to embrace because of my dad's choices and even my grandfather. I know my dad, he made some pretty radical decisions in his life. He came out of the Catholic Church and his heart was his family. Like it was, and it was my grandfather too. We're Italian and we're very Italian. We're just like very big family people. And so I just so appreciated my dad, in how much he, just made his family, the focus and really, look to us and blessed us in each season of life, through each of the, you know, there were hard seasons and there were, and just how much that meant. And I know that like at this point where I'm, we're 30s now, and we have five children ourselves. And we're also oldest siblings. And so it's kind of interesting now, kind of looking at the whole spirit of Elijah and understanding it, the journey for me as a young person with parents, and how my heart shifted over the years, and my testimony of how there were times in my life, you know, my dad wasn't perfect and Braden's dad was not perfect, you know, and we there's no perfect dad out there, and how the enemy could come in those places and really stir up this critical spirit of your parents, and how that's really rampant today. We see, there's all kinds of, and you can find a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a counselor, any counselor out there that would tell you all your problems are because of your parents, you know?
Right. Makes sense. You
know? Yeah, of course, right? And that's kind of the world that we live in today is putting the blame on. And so, you know, I could have looked at my parents' imperfections and criticized that and really just blamed them for all the problems in my life, kind of a thing. But instead, God did a real work in my heart, and I never, you know, it wasn't hard. My parents my parents just loved me with everything, but there were those seasons in my life where it was a battle, and I had to continually look to them in love and turn my heart towards them, even though there was this gap of not understanding each other. And now we're in this place of parents, and we've got younger siblings, and we've got younger children that we're bringing up. And I'm realizing that as a person in the place of the parent, how those critical eyes are looking at me now. like in our children, you know, or even younger siblings and stuff, that that's what happens, you know, is that they look to those that went before, and there's this kind of, well, I wouldn't do it that way, or I'm going to do things, you know, different, or, you know, they didn't do things quite right, or whatever it was. And realizing just how stressful that place is. And so it gives me more of a compassion and a greater appreciation for my parents and for the people that went before us, and just being able to be humble themselves under that criticism, you know, because that's it's immaturity, you know, when we do that. And we all go through that season. But just realizing the things, I think it's really good to understand the battle that's out there that is trying to keep us from walking in this spirit and the spirit of Elijah, which is allowing critical thoughts to come and take root and offenses. And then as a parent, me looking at my children in frustration because of the critical spirit that I see thrown at me, and like just being aggravated, or, you know, just being critical back towards them, responding in criticism, and just realizing it takes a work of God to see past that and to love past all of those places where the enemy tries to come in. So this is something we really need to understand, that this is not, you know, this is not something that's easy. It's something we need to fight for. It's something that we need to continue to make choices to grab hold of the good thing and be a part of this spirit of Elijah.
Yeah, I think too, it's something just human nature to want to blame others for our problems. I mean, you go back to the book of Genesis, and Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. So it just goes back to the very beginning. You know, we just have a tendency to blame others for our problems. And so you heard me say that one? So, yeah. So it takes a work of the spirit in our hearts to stand before God. Because, you know, each one of us are going to stand before God personally. You know, we're not going to be able to stand with all the other people around us and say, well, look at him and look at her and all these other people. We're going to stand before God personally. And thank God he's a gracious God. Mm-hmm. And we stand before a merciful God, but we're going to give account personally. We're not going to be able to blame a lot of other people for our own actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So moving on with this theme of fatherhood, I was actually doing a little research for this podcast and was just looking at the way that fatherhood impacts the generations. And as I began to read, I actually just began to weep. And I don't know if you've experienced this. Sometimes you just, you're crying so hard, you're crying so much that you just, your nose just begins to pour forth snot. And I just began to just really be stirred up by this. And just, I don't know, something just really hit me in the core. And I think it has to do with this whole spirit of Elijah, just realizing that with the spirit of Elijah, the generations have hope. You know, when God works in the life of a father and the Holy Spirit moves in the heart of a father to turn towards his children, then there's hope for generations. Mm-hmm. But when that's shut down, then look at the results of that. It can be devastating mm-hmm. for generations. And so I want to speak to maybe some listeners out there that maybe had poor fatherhood, you know, poor father examples. And I just want to encourage you to not lose heart. There are men in the body of Messiah that can come in and give you a blessing. It can speak affirmation over your life. And I've seen people, it's a very emotional thing, you know, when a father figure can speak destiny and speak affirmation over someone's life. But those things are really important. They speak to the core of our identity. Mm-hmm. For one, even the biological way that we're created, the father, the male, is the one who decides the gender of the child. Mm-hmm. You know, with the whole chromosome things, I can't explain it in a real scientific detail way, but I just know that the male is the one who decides the gender of the child. Mm-hmm. And so there's also comes with that the father's responsibility to validate the gender. You know, I just, Tali and I both attended bar and bat mitzvahs. This is a time of just blessing for a young man or young woman when they turn about 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And at these events, it's so powerful. It's so just, you can just feel it in your core, the power of it. For the father to say, you know, to his daughter, you are a daughter, you are a woman, and I bless you in this identity. Mm-hmm. It's like taking the next step. You know, in creation, you are a part of this human being a woman. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to make this next step and say, and just say it with your words, you are a daughter of God, and I bless you as a woman. Fulfill mm-hmm. your purpose for being created. And then to his sons to say, you are a man, and I validate that. That is a powerful, you have a powerful calling in your life. Go forth in the strength of God. Mm-hmm. You know, just if there's something so shaping and so powerful about that when a culture embraces this role of the father to mm-hmm. validate his sons and daughters. The mother's role is incredibly important as well. Mm-hmm. But this role of the father, as we'll soon see as I was talking about these articles I was researching, it's just amazing how much impact there is.
Yeah, I just wanted to just hit on that, the bar and bat mitzvah. I didn't grow up with the bar and bat mitzvah picture. And the first year we were married, I think we went to, it was the first couple of years, we went to a handful of them here and there. And it was just so moving to me, just seeing that affirmation. I remember being at a, we went to this fellowship in Jerusalem once we were staying, and we just happened to go to this congregation. It was like the first time we'd been there, and they happened to have this little bar mitzvah before the service started, and they're showing a slideshow and stuff like that, and they're saying the blessings and stuff, and I am in the back like just crying and like
crying your eyes out.
Yeah, crying my eyes out. And the mother's sitting there like perfectly normal, like stable, I guess. but anyways, it was so impactful for me to be around this. And I know that most of us didn't grow up with this in place. And I think in general, in Christianity, we see a lot of this attitude of, well, hope they make it kind of a thing. When they hit that like 13, you know, the teenage years, everyone always talks about how scary that is and stuff like that. And I love it. This picture of taking them at this season and affirming them at that season and saying, I know you are going to go through a lot of changes over this next season, and I want to invest in you. I want to turn my heart towards you. I want to see you succeed. And I don't want it to be by chance. I don't want it to be by, I want to do all that is within my capabilities to see you go forward in strength and in faith. And so it's such a, such an amazing thing to take hold of. And I just want to encourage those too, like Braden said, those that didn't have this voice in your life growing up. And just to say, just because maybe you didn't grow up with that, I just want to say, like, you can be empowered to be that voice in other people's lives. Right. And that's what it took. That's what it takes, is a generation turning the tide and saying, you know what? My father maybe never spoke to me this way. I maybe never had affirmation from my father, but I am going to affirm my children. I am going to be that voice in my children. I am capable through God. I can do this. And even to those around you, you know, the fatherless that are around you, being that voice of affirmation and encouragement.
Yes. And I just want to encourage, just to reiterate, you know, if you've got father figures in your life, elders, whoever they may be, get a blessing. If you've never gotten it, just get a blessing and have them speak over you destiny and hope and truth. Mm-hmm. It can be very powerful. So let's look at a few of these excerpts from some of these articles I was finding online. I'm just going to read them here. It says here, if both father and mother attend church consistently, and it's saying church here, I'm speaking just any kind of fellowship gathering, if they're consistent in the body, then 33% of their children will end up as consistent churchgoers, and 41% will end up attending inconsistently. Okay, so we got 33% going consistently, and then 41% going inconsistently if both mother and father are consistent in the fellowship. All right, and then if the father is inconsistent and the mother consistent, so the father's just kind of out of the picture, the mother's taking her children to church, only 3% of these children will afterward become consistent themselves, while a further 59% will become inconsistent. So only 3% of these children, that the mother is the only one that's really the spiritual one going to fellowship, only the spiritual leader, only 3%. Now, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotion, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. One out of 50. Now, if a father does go consistently, if a father is the spiritual leader in his home, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers. So this is not to downplay the spiritual role of the mother in the home. It's just to emphasize that there's something about the father. And this, we're talking about the spirit of Elijah here that's specifying. The Holy Spirit is specifying in this passage that the fathers will turn their hearts to their children. Mm-hmm. And this has a powerful spiritual ramification for the generations to come. Mm-hmm. And this is what we want to pray for. We want to pray for God to set afire the hearts of men so that the generations to come will be blessed. And we need to see a big shift even happen within the regular church world, because a lot of times what you'll see is even in the churches, there can be almost a feminine touch, and it's almost like they're catering to this more of a feminine type thing, and young men feel particularly uncomfortable. You know, you'll see a lot of the spiritual leadership and things. You know, the people that are praying, let's say, are mostly all women, which thank God for those women that are doing that. Mm-hmm. I think Derek Prince said that 9 out of 10 praying people in the church are women. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for those women that are praying, but it sets an example for the young men that are coming up in these congregations to think that spiritual things are just relegated to women. Mm-hmm. And it's a devastating cultural reality to pass on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So along with this, as I was researching, it was saying Mother's Day is one of the most highly attended Sundays of the year for church going, and Father's Day is one of the lowest. So just what is that? That says it all right there. You know, you know, mothers value their families going to church. Fathers in our country do not value. There's just a lack of spiritual leadership in our country. This is another fascinating study that was done. It says, if a child becomes a Christian in a house, there's a 3.5% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there's a 17% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. Now listen to this. If the father is the first one in the house to become a Christian, 93% of his family, there's a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. Mm-hmm. So all these stats just point to this truth that the father has a huge responsibility in guiding his family in spiritual ways. One last thing here. It says as many as 90% of the boys who are being raised in the church today will abandon it by their 20th birthday, according to the statistics. Many of these boys will never return. Mm-hmm. So, wow, we're up against a lot in our culture just to seek to see young men. I have a real big heart for young men to lay hold of this reality that we're in a battle. You know, I think that that's got to be reclaimed. We're not just in this kind of social club atmosphere where we're just getting together because it's fun. No, there's an all-out battle going on, And Satan is waging war against God's people, and he's trying to take the men out. He's trying to take us all out. Mm-hmm. But if he can get the men, he can get the generations. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be aware of this. We have to fight this fight. And I just want to encourage you to pray for the men in your life, wherever you are. Pray that they will be empowered by God's Holy Spirit to walk in the spirit of Elijah, to that God will pour out his spirit, just as it was on John the Baptist, just as it was on Elijah, to turn people's hearts ultimately to God. Mm-hmm. But as fathers, turn their hearts to God, mm-hmm. that they will turn their hearts to their families, and that will leave a generational blessing.
Yeah, and I think it's so important, too, to know where your heart is in this case, because I was saying, this critical spirit that wants to come in, or offend, this spirit of like offense and aggravation or whatever it is on either side, whether you're turning towards your parents or your children, that is such a hard thing to come against. And I just want to say, like, with the culture, that's the way that the culture is going, you know, like even in TV and all, you know, kind of media, it always portrays, you know, the father as being the silly, you know, dumb, you know, doesn't know anything. And the wife is always the, like, the smart, you know, the knows everything kind of a thing. And the children, even, you know, the children all know it all too. And so it's something that we have to be very, very determined that we aren't going to go along with the flow, go along with what everyone else is doing. And so I really encourage you to, no matter what place you're in, whether you're a child who has, you know, where you've been hurt by your father, or you're a father who has been aggravated and distanced themselves from their child because of whatever things, I really encourage you to understand the schemes of the enemy, and really look at these people in your life, and really call out the jewels that are there. Call out the places of growth, call out the places of fruit, and just keep your eyes focused on the good things that are in their lives, and really try to build up those areas and encourage those areas. So, you know, I know that for me, that's been a really big, a big part of my life, is just understanding where my heart is. And if I'm continually aggravated or frustrated or critical, I'm not going to do much good for myself or the relationships around me. So I really want, I've continually have to remind myself to focus and build up these areas. So I think that we've gotten to the end here, and we're going to say shalom until next time. Happy Omer counting over the next week, and we will see you later. Blessings.